Oh, Jesus, thank you for this even opportunity to meet together and just to speak loud and clear the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for who you are, that you've come to not just be with us, but to live in us. Holy Spirit, we so appreciate you. And you're the one revealing Jesus to us and making a way, helping us to go and fellowship with the Father. So we appreciate you and we love you. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Amen. It is just such a joy to be here with you today. I'm really excited, and I was looking forward to it. I met your pastors at a ministers conference in Colorado. I do a lot of ministry with Andrew Womack Ministry. I don't know if he's become a friend. And then the first time when your pastors invited me last year and I came in, I didn't know them, but I just fell in love with them. They're just the most precious pastors, you know. And oh, hallelujah. So, and when I was ministering in Colorado, one of my passion is ministering on Holy Spirit. Because I've discovered something through, I've been now saved. I think I got saved in 1984. And so that's what, how long is that? I'm not sure. 38 years, well, time goes fast, you know. But, you know, you come to the place where you realize that really what is the most important is just a simple, heartfelt, authentic, transparent relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's what matters. And, you know, we can only do that with the help of Holy Spirit. You know, and so I love talking about Holy Spirit, because he's become, and I see in all my years of ministry as a missionary, traveled. I mean, I got married, I was 36, so that was just a couple of days ago. Just kidding. But for many, many years, I traveled by myself as a missionary, and I used to go in the hard to go places, you know, Burma, Vietnam, India, Cambodia, you know, Russia, in places, you know, that you had to go underground, you know, and I went there by myself, but I never was by myself because I was always with Holy Spirit. And I've learned, you know, and yet there was time where I felt lonely. But it was like I had learned to draw from him, to walk with him, to listen to him. And then, you know, you come then to a place where, you know, when you go through, you know, for so many years in the, you know, you go to Bible school through, and then you walk with God, and you go to a lot of conference, you listen to a lot of message, and it's very easy to get all of a sudden into what I call methodology, you know, and it's like 10 step to this, and you know, two, you know, and you get into, and yes, there are some good principles in the Bible, spiritual principle, but oftentimes we can make the mistakes to live our life through principles, through methods, and become very methodical, you know, with it, and we lose that freshness, that authenticity, that simplicity that we had when we just met Jesus. And so sometimes we just have to go full circle, you know, and go right back to the place where, you know, and you remember I read, you know, in the last, it's been, golly, a few months now, I've just be read all year, I don't know. We've been reading in the book of Revelation, and I just read, you know, and you know the book of Revelation, the first three chapters is when Jesus, the head of the church, is kind of stepping up and lovingly, because he loves his bride, he loves his church, because he loves her, he's correcting her. Mm-hmm. And correction from God is never to put us down and disqualify us. It's always to lift us up, help us, and take us further. Amen. Yeah. But one of the things that Jesus says, he said, I have that one thing against you. And he was talking to the church of Ephesus. And if you look and read, and Pastor Scott was talking about the church of Ephesus this morning, amen, that we were to be a display to the world. But one of the things about the church of Ephesus, it says that you, I know your faith, and you love with sincerity. You love the Lord and people with sincerity. That's what the Ephesian church was known, is for their faith, but for their authentic and sincere love. And Jesus says, I have that one thing against you. You have lost your first love. And it is like I see a lot of time today where Christian, they come to that place where they are walking. You know, I'm walking by faith. I'm confessing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Now, don't take me wrong. I'm not against that. But if we do all those things that we learn along the way, those things to walk, you know, with God and to, I'm going to serve Jesus, and I'm going to work for Jesus. If we do all those things to do that, then we come to that place where we lose that sincere love, that simple, authentic, crazy about you, Jesus, simple faith and love. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like what we say, like, I don't know, I'm not going to say it because we're like, what? But so I want to come, you know, and I love that song that you sang this morning, and something just jumped out because it says, this is what life looks like. This is what freedom looks like. This is what heaven looks like. And I want to talk about that this morning. What does life look like? Life with Jesus, that sincere love with Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about what this is, what freedom in Jesus looks like. And this is what heaven, life in heaven looks like. Getting back to that place of simplicity, of just living life, not for Jesus. Because I'm going to live my life for God. You know what that tells me? All the weight is on you. And it never was God's intention. I want to talk about what life looks like with Jesus. Getting back to that sincere love for God. That simple, childlike faith in Jesus. And you know, lately there is one verse, you know, and this is how I like to study and read my Bible. Not so I can have more knowledge, but so that I can get to know God and listen to Him, to what He wants to talk to me personally. And there is one verse this year that is just kind of exploded out of my Bible, and I've been chewing on it, meditating on it, and asking the Lord to talk to me about it. And I've just, what does it mean? What does it look like? And that verse is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, where Paul, he said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I looked at that verse and I'm like, Lord, what does it actually mean? What does it actually look like? It is no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And I started to meditate on it and ask the Holy Spirit about it. And God started to show me and teach me in simple way, and even with illustration, life illustration, you know, and started to show me what life in Jesus and Jesus in I looks like. And you know, I've been reading lately in the book of Judges. An odd book to read, right? But I noticed something. It talks about a bunch of different people and that are quoted in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, you know, by faith. He talked about by faith Gideon, by faith Barak, by faith Samson, by faith Jephthah, you know, by faith. And when I looked into those people in the book of Judges, there is one verse that just kind of caught my attention. And it says, talking about Gideon, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And you know, here is a good thing. When you read your Bible, when a verse or a word is highlighted or jump out of the page, it is Holy Spirit that is catching your attention that says, hey, dwell on that. Meditate on that. Extract so that I can show you something. And so that's what I did. I started to look into, and I noticed, you know what it actually means when he said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, or the Spirit of the Lord came upon. And I looked at it because this is the image that we have, is that the Holy Spirit is coming and descending, and it's coming upon them, and all of a sudden, whew, they have that supernatural, you know. And if we don't pay attention, this is how you and I can perceive God. And we can sing song saying, well, Holy Spirit, you're going to come. Holy Spirit, you're going to, you know, come upon me, or you're going to fill me, thinking that God is out there in the atmosphere. And then one day, when he feels like it, he's going to come upon you. And then finally, you'll have power. When I look at that verse, the Spirit of the Lord came upon, you know what it actually means in Hebrew? It means the Spirit of God put Gideon like a garment. Amen. You know what that means? It means that the Spirit of God used Gideon like a glove, and he went, shoo. He put him on. And the Lord started to show me that when Paul had a revelation and that he said, hey, this life that I now live, it is no longer I who lives, but it's God in me who lives in me and through me. But this life of Christ in me and me in Christ, this life that I now live, I've got to live by the faith of the Son of God. And you know what it means? It means that God is not out there choosing whenever it's convenient, or whenever he, you know, he feels like it's the moment to come upon us, and then shoo, here we come. Now we can, you know, we can be super, you know, Superman, Superwoman. No, no, no. God has chosen to live in us and put us on like a glove. We are a Holy Spirit glove. So it's no longer I who live, but it's God in me that can have, if I allow him, that it's God in me that can now go and move and talk and act and do different things. But you know how it starts? By you and I becoming aware of that, becoming so conscious, and get away from that notion that it is God living in the atmosphere, and that once in a while, if we pray, beg, and cry, and, you know, if we, you know, fast for, you know, but finally, God is going to sprinkle some dust, you know, golden dust, and then we've got to get away from that. And we've got to come to the place where we realize God has chosen through what Jesus did on the cross. By the Holy Spirit, he's chosen to come and live and dwell. And the Bible says abide, permanently abide in us. And we can start to live this life, no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Number one, when we become so conscious and aware that we're just a glove and that God, Almighty God, creator of the universe, resurrection power, Father, has chosen to dwell. And I know when I say that, it's become such something we've heard and heard and heard that we become desensitized to it. That it just become like, ah, yeah, I know God dwells in me. Yeah, he is in me. But we don't totally, we might know it here, but we've got to know it. And that will come by faith. And that means that it's no longer by what I see or feel, but it's in that believing, choosing to say, wait, I don't feel anointed. I don't feel like God is in me, but I know God lives in me. And we remind ourselves day in and day out that God is in me. He lives in me. And I don't have to wait for, you know, the special moment, or I don't have to believe that I got to be that, you know, super saint for God to finally decide to use me. But no, I have to know and know that God abides and lives in me and have that awareness, that consciousness. And that's where it starts. Let me read you a verse in that same verse in the Message Bible. Is it okay? In Galatians 2:20, he says, indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. And the life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It starts, number one, by realizing that God Almighty has chosen to come and live permanently in me. And number two, we've got to start forgetting about ourselves. And I love that Jesus talked in I think it's in Matthew 16 and in Luke chapter 8 and in Mark chapter 8, where Jesus talked about what it looks like to be a true disciple. He said, you're going to have to learn to deny yourself, to forget about yourself. Like it said, it's no longer my ego. And forgetting about the big I or me, how I feel, how I think, how I want. No, but start thinking, God lives in me. God lives in me. And it's no longer I, but it's God in me. So that means I'm going to focus, concentrate, think, dwell, remember that God is in me. And you know, here again, he says, that life, now this is what life looks like. It is lived by the faith of the Son of God. And what is faith in its purest form? What is faith? Faith is just trusting God and his word more than what I can feel, see, or think. Yes. Trusting God and his word more than what I think, I feel, I see. You see her again? It is no longer I. Let's get rid of the ego. Let's get rid of I. But now it's just trusting God and his word. And how does faith come? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But here is a key. Most of us, what we've been taught and what we've done is with, okay, if I want to have faith, I'm going to go in my Bible and read it and read it, and I'm going to choose a verse that pertains to my situation. Okay, I need healing. So I'm going to go and, okay, here is a verse on healing. I'm going to take that verse and I'm going to stand on it and I have faith. And most of them doesn't work and get frustrated. Why? Because faith come by hearing. Hearing what?
The word.
The word. And the word is the rhema word of God, which is the word spoken out of the mouth of God. Or the word inspired, quickened by the Spirit of God. It is not us reading the Bible. I mean, don't take me wrong. I read my Bible every day. But do you know why I read my Bible every day? So I can get that spoken, that rhema word.
Yes.
I'm not after knowledge. You know, one time I remember, and here is the mistakes of, and please forgive me, I look like I'm mad, but I'm not. I'm just excited. We have come in so much in the church where we all about knowledge. We want the knowledge of the word. The knowledge of the word. And so we pursue. And I'm not against higher education. Please. You know, but here is the key. If this is what our focus, I want to have a PhD. I want to have a BA. I want to have a master. I want to have that and this. And I want, you know, Christian, I want knowledge. If that's what we pursue, we'll be one of the most miserable human being. And I remember one time I was in Burma because I felt, you know, as a woman, preaching and traveling alone. Sometime I was standing preaching in front of people that had all kind of letters behind their names. And that can be a little intimidating because you're like, Paul, I don't have a higher education. I just have a Bible school, you know, and I don't have nobody. And one time I was in Burma, and one of the guy just had some business cards made for me. And he's like, Sister Audrey, I've got those cards for you. I'm like, okay, great. And I read, and I said, Audrey Mack. And then it says BA, PhD, Masters. And I'm like, I don't have any of them. I mean, I'm like, sorry. But he's like, Sister Audrey, turn the card. I'm like, okay. I turn the card, and it says Audrey Mack, BA, born again, PhD, preaching, healing, and deliverance. Masters, his name is Jesus. And I went, that's me. And what the message was like, Audrey, what is more important? And here again, I'm not against higher education. I'm like, if this is what God is telling you to do, if God is leading you to have a master's, a PhD, or whatever it is, I say, yes, go for it. But if we pursue those higher education thinking that it is the key to be more spiritual, I say you are going to fail miserably. Because being spiritual, it is no longer I who live, but it has to be Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now must live in this body, and I have to learn to live by the faith of the Son of God. And that faith is simple trust in God and His Word. And how does it come? By hearing and hearing and hearing what God tells us. So if God tells you, have a PhD, okay, bam, there is faith for it. If God says, don't have a PhD, don't do it.
Amen.
We've got to learn to live this life no longer in what people say or what we think is the right thing to do. Methods, principle, methodology, and all of that. But we have got to learn to know God lives in me and now. This life that I'm going to live in this body, God using my body like a glove, I'm going to live it by listening and hearing what God says. And by hearing what God says, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, go there. And we start living our life all of a sudden, no longer aware of the big I, me and myself, but so aware of God living on the inside of me that without even realizing, without even trying, without even, it's like God living in us and through us. and we don't even know that we did it or why we did it or how to do it. We just learn to flow in harmony. And you know, that's what Jesus was talking about when he was saying, you know, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. You know, about this new covenant. And I love that in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, he says, we've been freed from the laws, the do's and don'ts. We've been freed of all the list of, you know, the methods and the principles. We've been freed from that. He says, so we may serve in the newness of the Spirit. And you know, when you look in the book of Hebrews, which the book of Hebrews, it's really talking about this new covenant in Jesus. No longer like Moses, no longer like, you know, superior to Moses' covenant, superior to the angels, superior. And he was saying, this is what this new covenant is. And you read in chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Hebrews, it talks about entering the rest, that place in this new covenant, which is a covenant of rest. Because, you know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Yes. And you notice what it says? There is a rest for the people of God. Yes. He said, there is a rest for the people of God. For those who have believed, or let me say, those who trust in God and his word, those who walk by faith, have ceased from their works or from their own works. Yes. And you look at this in this whole chapter again and again and again. The author of Hebrews, who is talking about this covenant of rest in Jesus, what is he saying? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice. So what is he saying? He's saying that this covenant of rest, this life that we now live, Christ in us and us in Christ, it is not a hard covenant of heart. I gotta do, I've gotta live for Christ, I've gotta work for Jesus. It is no longer the weight being on us of the to-dos and not to-dos. It is a covenant of rest, simply relying, listening and relying on God talking to us. Yes. Just like when you got saved. When you first met Jesus, it was simple. It was easy. Do this. Go there. All of a sudden, you know, God would speak to you. And it'd be like clear and be like, wow, God spoke to me. And you know why things get complicated as they go? Because a bunch of people are starting to give you list of to-dos, not to-do, principles, that, 10-step for faith, 5-step for healing. And you lose that simplicity of walking with Jesus by simply listening to his voice, not hardening your voice. What does it mean? You hear, you yield. You hear, you obey. You hear, you do. You hear, bam. And it's easy. You enter into the rest because the emphasis, the weight is not on you trying to live this life for Jesus. It is God living in you and through you. It's simple. It's easy. It's that place of rest because the weight is not on you. Amen. Trying to figure it out. The weight is on Holy Spirit, just giving it to you. And all you have to do is hear and obey. Hear and obey. Oh, this is what life looks like. This is what freedom looks like. This is what heaven looks like. You know, this is how it was at the beginning. At the very beginning when God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, it said they were walking together in the cool of the day, which according to Hebrew, you know, it was in the evening. Because in the Hebrew mind, the day starts at sundown. Amen. So in the cool of the day, they were walking, talking, sharing. And I guarantee you, God was just telling them, you know, they were talking, asking. Jesus was probably, not Jesus, but well, he was there. But, you know, Adam was probably asking questions. The Father was answering. You know, they were having that simple communion. And that's how they lived the life. And that's why God intended for man to live the life. A simple, authentic, heartfelt, what you see is what you get, bearing your heart to God, listening to Him, receiving instruction on, you know, from Him. And you know, let me do a little parenthesis. This is how I got healed of whatever attack I got in my body. Amen. I heard Pastor Scott say that I was attacked with bone cancer. You know how I got a miraculous healing? Not because all of a sudden I got all my Bible school books and I found, okay, 10 steps to receive. No, you know what it was? A simple communion with God and listening to what He says to do. And simply yielding. He gave me some instruction of the to-dos and not to-dos. It was simple. It was not spectacular, but it was very supernatural. Supernatural. And I simply heard, yielded, obeyed, and 9 months later, without any treatment whatsoever, even though I'm not against treatments and doctors and medicine, you know, it's another way that God can use sometime to get us healed. Amen. But this is how I just got healed of cancer. This is how I got healed of appendicitis. This is how I got healed of carpal tunnel syndrome. This is how I got healed of chemical imbalance. This is how I got healed of whatever I was being attacked with. That simple, childlike communion with God. And so many times I have people, I receive so many prayer requests or people that says, how do I got this and I got that? How do I do it? How do I get healed? And people get disappointed when I simply tell them, go back to God, commune with Him, focus on Him. You know, just spend time with Him in childlike faith and be quiet before Him and listen to Him. And whatever He says, do it. People like, they like to tell me what to do. That's what the children of Israel did when God got them out of Egypt and said, hey, I want to make out of you a nation of priests, meaning I want to talk to you one-on-one, face-to-face. But you know what they said? No. No, we don't want to see you face-to-face and talk to you directly. Moses, you go and talk to God. And then you come back and tell us what to do. That's how a lot of Christians live their lives today. They don't want to go because, yes, it takes. It's not hard. It's not, let me put it. It's very simple. It's not automatically easy. Because it requires us to really connect with God and listen to Him and be quiet, be still and know that He's God. And remove distractions, put priorities back in order, and focus. It requires a focus on God, getting rid of all the stuff around that, you know, speak loud and demands our attention. Hallelujah. You old? Whatever that means, I don't know. Is that a passcode, like a... Oh, it means I got to go to the bathroom. You're welcome, brother. That's what freedom looks like. Yay! I love it. Just getting back to that simplicity. And you know, oh, God is so good. Here is, let me do a little parenthesis. You know, Pastor Terry, you know, she texted me a few times. She said, do you have scriptures? Do you have this? You know, prepare. And I'm like, I don't really. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do before I get here kind of thing. And, you know, I hear a song and all of a sudden, bam, it triggers something in me. You know, what was I talking about? Freedom. Amen. But, yeah. just pulling and just being with God, to have a relationship with Him. That's where it all boils down to, is getting back to that simple fellowship with God, getting rid of the do's and don'ts. And you know, we make fun sometimes, we talk about the law. Yeah, I'm not about the law. I'm free from the law. But you know that even in the charismatic two-day church, there are different types of laws, of do's and don'ts. You know, it's easy, you know, the moment. And so we've got to watch over that. Just to get, and I'm not, here again, I'm not, like I say, against principles. What I am for those principles if this is what Holy Spirit is leading you to do. You know, it's like something you can look and somebody does something and it will be good, and God's blessing and presence and power will be on it. And it, you can see, you know, somebody will do something or say something, or, you know, and bam, the anointing is there. The breakthrough is there. But then here is the mistake. People see that and they said, ooh, so and so she did that. She said that. And it worked. She got a breakthrough. So I'm going to go and do that. And all of a sudden we start, what are we doing again? We are wanting to almost imitate somebody else's faith. Right. But how did their faith come? Their faith come by
hearing.
And hearing by what God spoke to that person. And how does God speak? He might speak to you while you read the word. He might speak to you while I preach. He might speak to you while you maybe sometime watch a movie. He might speak to you while you're driving your car and you see a billboard. He can speak to you while you hear a song. He's got 1 million ways to speak to you. But you know the difference. When you know when God speaks to you, that's like, whew, there is a quickening. There is a knowing. There is life to it. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
and that's the way that you and I have to read our Bible. We have to study the Word. And here, I'm going to say something that probably can blow your socks off. Because the today's church, and when I say that, I'm not being derogative, but I'm saying oftentimes the way Christianity has been in these days, it's like you've got to study the Word, study the Word, study the Word. And we approach studying the Word on an intellectual level. To know the Bible, I've got to know the Bible. Did you know that the word study is really not in the Bible? It's actually, let me correct it. It's only found in one version, it's found three times. One time it's found in, I believe it's in Timothy, 2 Timothy, study to show. You know that word study to show yourself approved? It's not the word study like you and I understand it. It's be diligent. It's a hard thing. It's like be diligent. Put your heart into it to show yourself approved. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, but rightly recognizes or divides the truth. The other verse, I believe it's in when he says, study to live a godly life or a quiet life. And here again, it's not study, getting into books to acquire knowledge. It's put your heart, be diligent to live a quiet and godly life. And the third place where it's found, it's in Ecclesiastes, I think 12:12, where it says, too much study is a weariness to the of the flesh. That doesn't sound like an endorsement to me. Why is that? Because the way we've been taught to study the Bible, we are doing it oftentimes like the Pharisees did it. To memorize, to acquire knowledge, so we can have a trivial, you know, pursuit, and we can know every little things about the Bible. If this is how we approach the Bible, we're missing the point. Because if you notice how we are supposed to study the Bible, the correct Hebraic or Hebrew way of approaching the Word of God was not by You know, but now let me correct it. The Pharisees required memorization. The Pharisees required to study the word until you knew entire books. And you know what the Pharisees, how they fare with Jesus. He never was very kind to them because they had a knowledge of the word, but they always missed the heart and the spirit of God. But you notice how God intended for us to approach his word was communion, asking question, answering question, talking heart to heart. You remember when Jesus was 12 and he was found in the temple? He was there in the temple, and you remember what he says? That they were amazed by the question he was asking and by the answers he was giving. This is how Jesus approached the Word of God. I mean, he was the Word. But how they were supposed to really approach the Word of God was not to study it in order to acquire knowledge, to memorize and become, look at me, how well I know the Bible. But it was to commune, a way to commune with God, to get to know him, to talk to him, to listen to him. So this is how we should read our Bible, and we should read our Bible. We have a blessing, the Word of God on pages. But our heart has to be, Lord, I'm going to open the Bible and approach it thinking, whoa, I'm about to commune with God. And I read it knowing that through I can get to know him. And then something just pops up the page. So I'm going to talk to God about it. What are you meaning there? Why did you put that word? And just being quiet and listening. And let that be a moment of communion in the word, to commune with God, to allow him to reveal himself, to talk to you, to answer your question, to guide you, direct you, so that it's no longer you live, but it's Christ living in you. And the life that you now live, you live by the faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word that God speaks to you through every, and it's not just in your little devotion in the morning, but all of a sudden, all through the day, you live your life with that awareness, that consciousness that God is right here in you. You're just a glove. And he's just there, just talking through you, living through you, moving through you, encouraging somebody through you, healing somebody through you, doing this and doing that. You know, recently, let me get some oil in the. Like I said, I've been for a year now where I've just been, it's like God bringing me right back to the beginning to show me what life looks like, what freedom in Jesus looks like, what rest in Jesus looks like, what it looks like that it's not I living, but it's God using my body like a glove to manifest himself to the world so that he is on display through us. We just happen to be the glove. And recently, just a few weeks ago, and here again, I remember I said, we have to come to that place where we realize it's not about us. Let's forget about us, but it's God, the kingdom of God, his will, his heart. Amen. And a few weeks ago, I travel a lot. And so I was taking a plane from Jacksonville through Atlanta. And then from Atlanta, I was going to catch another plane to go to San Antonio, Texas. And so I have, as a missionary, now I've been traveling for 37 years full time. So I have a routine. I have a way I do things. You know what I mean? And I know that one way to alleviate mistakes and problems, it's like, the principle, you put your keys always in the same spot, so you don't lose them. You know that, you know? That's what I do. I have a drawer. I got in the house. I put my car keys right there in that one little drawer because I know it's, and it becomes automatic. And then I never lose my keys unless my husband takes them, you know. So having said that, I do the same thing with, you know, traveling. Because sometimes you can misplace your passport, you can misplace your ticket. I've seen and heard and witnessed some horror stories. You know, I remember traveling with, you know, a missionary team one time, and one of the guys, we go from one plane to the next, he lost his ticket and his passport. You're talking big problem, you know. So I'm like, I'm going to do that, and I know I won't get in, you know, any kind of... So my thing is, as soon as I get out of one plane, I'll go and book to go to the next plane, to the next terminal. And then if I need to go to the bathroom, or if I'm hungry, or if I want to shop or whatever, I will do it there. And so that's my little MO. And so I get out, and the interesting thing is I was in the plane from Jacksonville to Atlanta, and I sat next to a lady, and I was reading a book on hearing the voice of God. Because I realized that, you know, if you want to walk by the faith that comes by hearing, you need to develop even that awareness of God speaking to you. And so I was reading that book, and the lady next to me, she's like, wow, you're a Christian. This is, you know, I'm a Christian too. So we talked, and then finally we exchanged phone numbers. And she's like, let's keep in touch, da, da, da. So I get out of the plane, and here she's dilly-dilly-dally around talking to some people. But I'm thinking, I had 30 minutes to, you know, for my next flight to take off. So I wasn't about just dilly-dilly around. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I got out of the plane. My next flight leaves in 30 minutes, so they're already boarding. So I'm booking. And as if you know anything about Atlanta Airport, on Terminal T, this is where all the people that, you know, come from Atlanta, they go through the TSA, the security, and it's huge. And as I get out of my plane, I have to walk right in front of the TSA to go down the escalator, to take the tram, to go to my next terminal. So I'm getting ready, get out, and all of a sudden I had that little go to the bathroom kind of thing. And I'm thinking, no. And I just had that impression to kind of like go to the bathroom. So I'm like, okay, I know enough. So I'm like, this is unusual and out of my little thing. So I stopped, went to the bathroom, went there. And when I got out of the bathroom, I'm right in the center in front of the TSA. And we hear, stop. Everybody freezes, looked at each other. And then say, don't move, you know. And I'm thinking, you don't understand. I've got 30 minutes for mine, you know. And say, ma'am, don't move. Freeze. So everybody's like this. And within 2 minutes, we hear, run, danger, danger, run. All of a sudden, like, and there is panic in the whole place. People falling, crawling under chairs, crying, grandma fall out of the wheelchair, kids are running, crying, looking for mama. People, I mean, have you ever seen panic? And at that moment, I just had that sense. Audrey, do not panic. So I spoke out. I said, Audrey, do not panic. So I stopped, and I had kind of like that sense of peace. And I saw a big pillar like this. So I went, and I hid behind the pillar. And I waited just to kind of check my heart. And all of a sudden, I started to speak. And I said, in the name. And now, let me say, I don't know if it's a bomb, if it's a shooting. I don't know what it is. I just know that there is major danger, that all the security is on high alert. And I'm behind that pillar. And I have that sense of peace coming upon me. And all of a sudden, I start speaking out. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, peace, be still. In the name of Jesus, I come against the plan of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I declare peace, peace, peace over the situation. And I went like that, and all of a sudden there is a TSA, you know, person, Homeland Security or whatever, that just come and say, ma'am, you got to move, you got to move. And then they get us out on the tarmac. And there is like thousands of people outside on the tarmac. And it's cold. And I have a little T-shirt and my little jacket. And I'm like, We stayed there for 3.5 hours in the tarmac. Finally, I'm going somewhere with that. Finally, there was a young man that looked on his phone, and he said, oh, and I hear him said, oh, it wasn't nothing. It was just a false discharge, you know, kind of thing. Nothing, nothing. And I'm like, okay, everybody, you know. But a little while, an hour and a half later, finally, after being there for 3.5 hours, they got us through the security again. And, of course, I missed like 2 or 3 flights. I had to take the last flight of the day to go to San Antonio. And I'm, you know, and then I'm kind of like frustrated because I'm like, God, what's happening here? I'm usually always at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Why is it that I got caught right there in the middle of that big mess? I could have, if I did it my way, I would have been on the other side, you know, of the TSA. God would walk to my terminal and, you know, everything would have been fine. And I'm frustrated because I'm thinking, what did I miss? What is it? Because I got so inconvenienced. Here I am in the middle of the night, getting in my hotel in San Antonio, tired and frustrated. And I'm like, God, I don't understand. What did I miss? What happened? Why did I have to go to the bathroom? Da, 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 da. And then as I'm kind of, I'm texting that lady that I had a phone number that sat next to me. And here she is telling me, hallelujah. I'm going like the... And here I come like a little frustrated, kind of talking to the Lord. And, you know, and I had texted that lady that had exchanged a phone number. And I see her text. And she said, oh, Audrey, she said, no, I didn't get caught in all of that just because I was on the other side. And I'm thinking, well, if I hadn't stopped at the bathroom, I would also be on the other side, you know. And she said, I was able to walk, you know, the tram, everything had stopped. I was able to walk to my terminal. And, of course, I had to wait. She said, but the interesting thing, I got to sit next to a lady that was right behind the shooter in the TSA. And she said, and this is what she said. Now, I never shared anything with her. I just asked her if she got caught in it. She said, that lady said she stood right behind the shooter, and she said the shooter had his hand in a bag, and how he put the hand in the bag, the gun went off. And at that moment, that's when all the panic went out. Everybody went berserk. And she said he froze, and all of a sudden, he looked around, he took his bag, and he ran out of the airport. I discovered later that that guy was a convicted felon, had got out of jail. So do you think that guy who was a convicted felon, just got out of jail, was at the TSA in an airport that is jammed with thousands of people, with a bag, with a couple of guns, just because he wants to go, you know, hunting? I don't think so. But all of a sudden, when I read that thing and I'm talking to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he says, did it occur to you that maybe this is where I wanted you? That I'm the one who stopped you at the bathroom so that you could be right in the midst of that whole mess. And that I had you right. I mean, I was like right at the center of it. He said, did it occur to you that I had you stop at the bathroom because I wanted you right in the center of it so you could speak peace and speak life in the situation? And did you know that not one person got hurt? We didn't hear anything in the news about it, interestingly enough. But the way things happened, the Lord was showing me and he says, Audrey, this is what life looks like. This is what living in Christ and Christ living in you. And this life you now live is not by you trying to live for Jesus, but it's just me using you as a glove, because you just heard something and you just yielded to it and you ended up being at the right place at the right time and stopping what the enemy wanted to do. I guarantee you. And I don't presume, please don't take me, I'm not presuming that I was like the only person You know, there might have been other people, but I have that consciousness that God is so good. He's so good that he wants to use us. He wants to bring peace, order. He wants to manifest his kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the spirit. He wants to bring light in the middle of a dark situation. If he can only find somebody that just here, though he was not spectacular, I could have missed it just like that. But because I had trained my ear to just yield to those spontaneous thoughts, I knew that's out of my norm. So I knew enough that I was like, that was not Audrey Mack that thought stopped to the bathroom. It had to be God. And by yielding to that, it was like God put me on like a glove. And I was and I was right there at the right place, the right time, spoke and brought light and order in the situation. And God illustrated to me, what does life look like? That is not so much us trying to live for God and us, but it's us training our ears to hear, to yield to those small spontaneous thoughts of the Spirit and become so accustomed, so it becomes so natural that we don't think, oh, God just spoke to me. This is God. This is God. No, it's just become like natural. It's like all of a sudden. Now, let me add something to this. And I don't even know what time. Okay. Let me add something to this. So many times I hear people say, Audrey, I used to be able to hear God. And then through the years, it's like, I don't seem to hear God anymore. Do you know probably why? Probably because your heart has been cluttered. You know, I know when I go, I'm married to family that love to accumulate stuff. They love that. You know, it's not just let's get us one, then let's just get 10 of each kind of thing, you know. And when I go to my mother-in-law's house, I mean, you can open a closet and watch out what's going to fall on you. You know what I mean? So many people's hearts are like that. Because all along the way, they've got little thing that got cluttered on their heart. Little offense, little attitude, little this, little that, that got cluttered into the heart. You remember in Hebrew, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And it's very easy along the way just to have a harden our heart, to have accumulated little things here and there where all of a sudden God speaks, but it's like, I'm talking to you, but we can't really hear. And you might say, well, then what do I do? God is very easy. God is very simple. He wants to help you declutter your closet. You know what we have to do? It's just find that little place alone with God and just start pouring your heart, talk to him. And said, Holy Spirit, for some reason I don't feel like I can hear you really clear. I know you talk to me all the time. So, Lord, I just want to open my heart. Show me if there is any clutter, if there is anything in there that is hindering me. And Holy Spirit will help you to declutter your heart. So you get that clear, that clarity, that purity of heart. And it doesn't have, you know, and if you got a real jam-packed closet, then it might take a little more than just, you know, one session with God. You understand what I'm saying? But just this is because this is what God wants. He wants us to be transparent, sincere, honest with him. It is not us going to God with a man-made prayer, oh, thy God of heaven. You know, I'm not going to say I because I got rid of that a long time ago. You know what I mean? But we've become masters of having man-made prayers and made men things. And you know, prayer is 10-step and this and that, that we've made communion and fellowship with God so complicated. We've got to go right back to the simplicity of closing yourself with God. Take the Bible and just start pouring your heart to God. Simple. Amen. Honest. Amen. No pretense. No mask, no epoch, no, none of that. Just as you, what you see is what you get. And be so 100% transparent. Remember what we read? I am done with trying to impress God. Because the fact that God knows us. And here is a good thing. Why is it that sometimes people want to go to God with some kind of a form? And I like, that's what God hates more than anything. Something that has a form of godliness, but has no life and no power in it. Amen. God hates that more than anything. And that is what really leaven is all about. And I'm doing a little side journey here. But you know when God took people out of Egypt and they told them to take a Passover lamb, they told them that for to take unleavened bread and to take bread with that leaven for 7 days, amen, and then eat that Passover lamb. You know what God was saying, leaven? You know what Jesus said leaven is? In Luke 12:1, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The thing that we see, the heart of the message that God was giving to the people of Israel was like, hey, as you come and partake of the lamb sacrificed for you, come with that hypocrisy, with that a mask, with that pretense, with that trying to impress, because God knows, you know, God knows everything. And God is never going to get mad at you as long as you're completely transparent, sincere, transparent with Him. Because that's what God wants. That's another message all by itself. The table of the Lord on my book table, which is not a book. The table of the Lord is understanding how to partake of communion the way God intended it, with a sincere and pure heart. To receive all the benefits of this new covenant. Yes. Anyway, but this is what life looks like. Yes. Life learning to listen to God. And how does He speak? You remember in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus says, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. You know what he was talking about? He wasn't just talking about speaking in tongues. He was talking about the voice of God that would flow out of our spirit like water. And water flow spontaneously. Easy. It flows. God, you know, the notion that God doesn't want to talk. God talks all the time. He wants to talk all the time. He talks. But we've got to learn to develop a hearing ear. And be simple, authentic. What he says, bam. And sometimes we dismiss it because we think it's not spectacular enough. But no, it's just spontaneous. It flows. And you just yield to it. And you get in that place where you become that display of God's power, of God's glory. When you end up being at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and you just happen to be in the middle of it, because it's no longer you who live, it's Christ who lives in you. And He just spoke to you, He just led you, you know, He just prompted you, and you just happened to be. And that's where God is, His glory, His power, and it is displayed through you. Very simple, very easy. We've got, you understand what I'm saying. Mm.